Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast.
Everybody stand up this morning, and we're going to jump in the Word. My friends, the family, the Renfros, bought me a new ladder for this series. Isn't this awesome? And as soon as my sermon's over, it's my dad's new ladder for the hub. There's going to be a verse on the screen. If you can pull that up, there's two verses that are going to pop up on the screen. In my notes, in Psalms, and it's in the, here's what I want us to do. From now on, I'm going to try to do this, because if you can, I'll share these verses, these two verses, every single week, but I want to emphasize a couple of things in our hearts every single time we come on Sunday mornings. Number one, without the Lord's presence, like, we can't make it, right? I mean, we need the Lord to go with us, and when we do worship nights, but even in your own car, in your own life, we need the Lord's presence. And number two is, the Word of God is not just for a pastor to go through. God wrote it for you. It love letter for you. And we have to make it, the Bible and verses important, and even memorization. So every single series from now on, to make verses important, I'm going to give you one or two verses every series to memorize with me. Does that sound good? I saw this on VBS with Stacy and the kids, and she made the kids memorize Bible verses and go through it, because I always want us to write these down and know these in our hearts. If it takes us the next 4 weeks to memorize these, that's awesome, because it kind of pertains to the series, but it pertains to you. And so here's what it says. It says in Psalm 121, it says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? That's in the psalm that we sing. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Isn't that awesome? And then it says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. And you add value. Build each other up just as the fact that you are doing that. God has called us, because as this series progresses, this is what I want you to understand. This series is about looking up and stepping up. This series is about climbing higher, but if you bear it down, it's about influencing, number one, influencing others, but allowing the Lord to influence your own life. It's one thing that people say, well, I'm a Christian, and I follow God, but if the Bible and what he says is not influencing your life, then you're really not following the Lord's little path here. Does that make sense? We're kind of doing what we want to do. And so this whole thing is a saying, God, guide my steps, guide my heart, and let's walk in these things. Lord, I pray for each person in this room. I pray even these verses to resonate within our hearts. I pray, Lord, as we, as a church, you bring life and speak life into us, that you do new and fresh things in us. Lord, I thank you for each person here today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You can grab a seat. I missed you guys all last week. My wife and I and kids were on a vacation, and we loved it. So thanks for letting us get away, and we love being away. But we are excited to be back, and school starts in a few more weeks, which is kind of crazy routine, but we are here. So as we open this up, this ladder right here signifies our faith journey. Anybody here scared of going up ladders? Like, you don't like heights? Okay. So I'll have all you who raise your hand come up next week and walk this ladder of faith. I'm just kidding. But it really is interesting, because a lot of us are afraid to climb up. And when I talk about climbing a ladder today, listen, I am not talking about climbing a corporate ladder. I'm not talking about climbing this, like, we got to become the boss and climb the ladder. And I'm not even talking about climbing a physical ladder, like, you got to have more faith and climb up. I'm talking about a spiritual faith journey that we all have of climbing up. And so what this signifies is climbing a ladder is what is to what could be, okay? What this signifies is what is right now in my life, where I'm at. Anybody who likes to go shopping in here, raise your hand. Shoppers, yeah, a few of you. If you've been to a new mall and you don't know where the stores are, the first thing you go is to one of those maps on the wall, right? You go to one of those maps, and the first thing you do is you look at where you want to go, or you find out the little icon that says you are here. Is this true? In order to know where you're going, you got to know where you're at. And so in order to find the place that you want to go, you got to say, well, I'm right here. And what I say for this spiritually is you got to be honest with yourself, allow God to be honest with you, and we need to know where we are at right now in our spiritual life. What is right now, and where does God want to bring us, myself and my family? Even the church, what's next? Like, what's that next step for us? And that's what it is. And so every ladder needs a couple things, but when you take up and take down a ladder, if you know this, there is some right ways to do it and some wrong way to do it. Is this true? I have done it wrong a few times. Anybody ever fallen off a ladder before? Just me, a few of us. My dad's fallen off like 3 ladders. And I'll tell you those stories along this process as we share the next few weeks. But I have had my mistakes. I remember one time I used to paint in the summers, and I was on this roof that was like a story and a half roof. Below me was some bushes, so I couldn't figure out my ladder. So I kind of tucked it around this bush, all this kind of stuff. And I had a sprayer, and I walked up the ladder, walked on the roof. I don't know. I was spraying on the roof, spraying a wall on top of the roof, spraying the roof. I don't know what that's called, but I was spraying. And I wasn't even paying attention, and I thought there was more roof left, and there wasn't. So I was just spraying, and the next thing I knew, I fell into a bush. You know what I'm saying? Totally hit my side on the ladder, hit the bush, all that kind of stuff. It wasn't the ladder's fault. I was the idiot, you know? And it wasn't even the roof's fault. I was the one, because we don't set. But what's important is this. The first step in setting up any ladder is making sure your foundation is good. You're making sure the base is good. I got some pictures I want to show with you. We're going to go through these really slowly. I found them online. These are awesome. If you want to do anything really fun, go online and type into Google ladder fail and just pictures. It's really funny. So you go to the first one. Look at this. Jerry, have you ever done any of these? I love how the guy, if you're going to do anything together, look at this, guys. Power pole together up top. You know what I'm saying? Up there working on some lines. I'm pretty sure Donnie's done that before. You know what I'm saying? Electrical stuff. But look at the guys on buckets. Go to the next one. This is amazing. Pure ingenuity. This guy uses 2 ladders. Look at that. Look how high he is. And then this guy is on top of a garbage can. If that has wheels, that's not very stable. Go to the next one. Epic fail. I'm not sure if you see this or not, but there is no ladder coming to the ground. So somehow he attached the ladder to his back of his truck, and he's going up. I don't even know how that even happens. And then this guy, think about that for a second. Who would do that? Anybody would do that? Yeah. Done them both. Next one. Dude, this guy's the same way. I want to show this because 2 ladders. This guy is not even on ground. He's on a ledge. You see that? Like, dude, if you got an itch, you better not scratch it and start moving that ladder. You just got to go up. Next one. Go to the next one. I think there's one more. Is there one more? Oh, that's it. That's it. I'll show these every week because it's interesting how you go through these pictures of if it's unstable, and these guys are making it unstable, and so it's huge that we build a foundation before we even start stepping up. And so the first rule is you find a level ground, and then you find solid ground, and you put up, and it needs to be level. It's interesting because it needs to be on a solid foundation. And so the reason I want to say this is, I think part of us as the church, I love, you go through Target and you go and they're talking about school. You know what always every year the catchphrase is? We got to go back to the basics. You know what we need to do as a church? We need to make sure we go back to the basics and we are good at the main things. Sometimes we get so caught up in doing everything else, trying to get everything else so well good, that the Lord is calling us, let's go back to seeking the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Go back to seeking the Lord, spending time with him, reading scripture, worshiping, allowing the Holy Spirit into your life and do miracles. And I'm telling you, God wants to speak to us in new ways. But we have to go back to the basic. What is the pillars? What are the things? God wants to speak to us through the scripture. And so it's interesting because we need to make sure we have a good foundation. Now, make sure I say this. I said a good foundation, a solid foundation. I didn't say a perfect foundation. Some people think, well, I'm not going to move up the ladder until I have everything figured out. And I'm like, well, you're never going to move then. Because, listen, part of going up the ladder is saying, I may not have all the answers, but I'm going to step up when God is asking me to step up. And so I think that's kind of where we're at, just saying we need to step up. And so we need to have this. And so one of the things is this. After you build that foundation, we need to start climbing. Climbing is interesting because climbing takes a step. Listen, if I'm this, guess what I'm not doing? Climbing. And so some people say, well, I've been climbing a ladder. And I'm like, really? You're not very high. Like, you're not going anywhere. Dude, climbing a ladder takes steps. Like, you got to take a step to go up. You got to take steps to move up this thing. You got to take steps. And it's interesting because steps take motion. It takes movement. A step, it's not like an escalator where it just brings you up. It's a ladder where it takes movement. But if you want to know something, if you can see this, this is a very specific ladder. And if you notice, the first step is usually the easiest, but also kind of the hardest, because here's why it's the hardest at times. Because you go from solid ground, your own 2 feet, to standing on something else that's not there. Is this making sense? But still, when you take that first step, it's the most wide step. Like, if you get that first step, you can kind of step back down a little bit if you want to. You can move around. You're there. Here's what begins to happen. A lot of people settle on the first step, and they think that, unless I got it, I figured it out, I got the first step, I'm good. And then what happens in your spiritual journey, you start getting a little bored, and you're saying, maybe your first step was just coming to church. You're saying, I'm coming to church, but you're not taking other next steps. You're not, your spiritual life is not personally growing. You're not reading the Bible. You're not praying. You're not hearing the Lord's voice. You're not getting water baptized. You're really not making surrender in your heart to the Lord. And what begins to happen, you take a step, but since you're not moving up, what begins to happen, you're like, this is pretty easy. I'm kind of getting bored, and the Lord's not challenging me anymore. And the whole time, the Lord's saying, I got more for you. Just keep on stepping. It's interesting because, and we stay in this journey where we just go. But the first step is really the biggest. But as you go up the ladder, if you notice something, big step, it gets more narrow and narrow every step along the way. Isn't this interesting? Every step gets more and more narrow. It gets a little bit more like a trust factor. It gets a little bit more, Lord, is this you? Is this what you called me to do? It gets smaller going up. People like to live in the safe area. People like to live towards the bottom where it's safe. But listen, it may not be as shaky towards the bottom, but you get a better perspective the higher you go. Here's what I feel like is really interesting is when I'm center counseling people and couples and different things in life, here's what begins to happen. I hear people say to me, well, Jarvis, I've done this for the Lord. I gave a tithe, or I served, or I come to church almost regularly, or I do this and I do this, and you're trying to tell me you do stuff. And then you get to a point in your spiritual life where you're doing this, and all of a sudden, you make one more step, and you feel like, I'm telling you, this is what happens. Tribulation, storms begin to come, and you get a little bit nervous, and what happens is you stop taking steps. And what begins to happen, a lot of Christians, hear me out, a lot of Christians, instead of taking steps, they hold on to the ladder just to hold on to their life. And they start having to, they don't realize this, but you start saying stuff like, I'm good enough. This is good enough. I don't need to go up any higher. I don't want God to get rid of that in my life. I don't want God to touch that hurt or pain. I don't want God to deal with that stuff in my past. I don't want God to touch that addiction. I don't want God to know what I'm doing in secret. And so what begins to happen is you begin to hold on because it feels safe. Because you don't want God to start pushing these little buttons in your heart. And what's interesting is that we start saying phrases like, I trusted you. When I hear phrases like, God, I trusted you, listen, that's a past statement. It's not, you're not saying, God, I'm trusting you. You're saying, well, I trusted the Lord, and it's not safe. So I'm just going to hold on right here. I'm going to make my world really small and stick right here because I don't want to go beyond this limit anymore. Can I just tell you this? You, as a spiritual believer in a son and daughter in Jesus Christ, I mean, of the Father, you are called to go higher in your faith journey. You are called to step up. What Satan wants us to do is to lose our vision of going higher and always stay where we're at. Listen, I'm telling you, when I take a risk, when I step out, your heart starts pumping. I won't ever forget the time when I was in college. I don't know if I shared this story before. I don't know what happened. I was in college, and I was at SA gas station. I used to work at a gas station in the summertime. And I got this girl walked in the gas. I'm at cashier, and this girl walks in. She says, can I talk to you for a second? And I said, yeah. She hands me $40. And I said, what is this for? She says, 4 years ago, I came in here, and I stole gas, and I never paid for it. And I said, what made you decide to come back? She goes, I gave my life to the Lord, and I know I can't go further in my spiritual journey until I fix my wrongs. So she drove 2 hours to give the gas station $40 to fix something that happened in the past. I'm telling you, what she is doing is she's saying, I'm no longer going to be saying, I trusted the Lord. I'm going to start trusting the Lord to make these things right. And as she begins to take some steps, it's cool because it's saying, it's interesting because in here, who drives a stick shift? Who owns a stick shift? A few of you, very little. Like when my dad, I learned a stick shift because he used to have a truck, a Mazda B2000 little pickup. I mean, nothing was rusted out. That where the gas pedal was, there was a floor mat and no bottom. It was so rusted out that when it would snow or rain, I can feel snow coming up from the bottom of the vehicle. But it had a stick shift on it, and my dad's like, if you want to drive when you turn 16, you got to use this thing. And I said, well, I don't know how to drive a stick shift. So in our town of Wilmer, the main drag used to have Friday night, you guys remember cruising nights? Yeah? Old enough to remember that? They don't do that much anymore. But cruising nights, you would go up and down, all your friends would stop, and my dad's like, we're going to learn, let's go learn. It was a Friday night, of course. And he taught me how to drive a stick shift at a cruising night. So here we are. I'm like, my heart's pumping, and this is like this little stick shift. And he's like, here's what you got to do. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to put the clutch in. I'm like, okay. Here I am. Cars are all around me. People are waving, and this thing is just dying. Like, and like a mile stretch, it probably died like 10 times. But it sped me up in the process of learning how to drive a stick shift because I'm like, I'm not going to be an idiot forever. I just read a stat the other day. If you don't want anybody ever to steal your car, drive a stick shift, because no one's going to steal a car they don't know how to drive. Hardly anybody knows how to drive a stick shift. But it's interesting because you learn how to drive stick shift, but if you know anything about driving stick, you know this. Neutral is not a gear. Can I say, hear an amen? Write that down. Neutral is not a gear. And here's the reason I say this, is because so many people in their life come up to here and you say, I'm good. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to stay neutral. So you park it right here and you sit neutral and you think you're safe. But people who stay the same in their spiritual journey don't go anywhere. At least reverse is a gear, right? At least you're going somewhere. In neutral, even if you're on flat ground, you may stay there. The only way you're moving in neutral is if you're going forward or backward without your power. Mm-hmm. And I think that so often, so many people in their spiritual journeys say, I'm on a plateau right here. And you might not even realize it. Can I say this, be honestly? You might not even realize that you're just parking your faith. But here's my question for you. When was the last time you stepped out and did something uncomfortable in your spiritual journey? Can I just be honest with you? Even those who are regularly just, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to read it every day. Even some of you, I'm asking some of you guys even to shake up your journey. Because some of you, even the way you do devotions is getting kind of boring. Do you understand that God wants to speak to us in new ways? It says even in Scripture, this is one of my favorite things to know. Do you know that it says in Scripture that God wants to whisper secrets into people's ears? Do you realize that he wants to tell you secrets that no one else is hearing? This is pretty cool to think about. That God wants to speak, that God has words for you that he has none for somebody else. Someone just told me this past week, they're saying, I've been having dreams lately that I feel like are verses and spiritual dreams. I'm like, God is doing something new in your heart. You got to walk this out. You got to go on a spiritual journey. So there's no neutral. So just doing enough, and we're called to move up. I love what Paul Herkman said when he was here. He says, you are either growing and maturing, or you're decaying, declining, and dying. He says, the law of entropy says, those things that are not moving forward will naturally decay. Because if we're not growing, if we're not taking those steps, it will naturally come back. So I'm going to tell you this. Can I just be honest with you? Here's what's really cool about this. Each step in your life that you take on your spiritual journey, some of you have been praying for miracles to happen. You're like, I don't know how God's ever going to show up. Some of you are like Jollies right here. Can I just pick on you for a second? And they're going to share their testimony on the video. It's a powerful marriage testimony. And I'm telling you, if you want to hear a run on the ladder, that was a big step in their spiritual journey, working on their marriage. But you know what's cool? Once it's not perfect, it's being worked on. But what's cool about that is now that they're stepping up from that, they can look back to a different height, and now that run is a testimony of their faith journey. Every trial becomes a testimony when you can take it to the next step. Can I just, you know, saying all those things, you just move up in your spiritual journey. You just walk through those things. So you look down and you say, you remember when God did this? You remember when God did this? Psalm 37:23 says this, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Isn't that a cool verse? The Lord makes firm the steps. So I'm going to tell you this. Before we get into I'm just going to share a quick scripture. Before we get into it, listen, I'm telling you, can I just be in one more honesty here? This is just a side note. Don't skip a step. Some people try to rush their spiritual faith and go to the next step and say, you want to bypass what the Lord is trying to teach you in your season. If you skip a step, the Lord will bring you back to that step all over again because you haven't learned it yet. The Lord will always bring us back to a place that we skip. So if you can open up your Bibles, Genesis 28, I'm just going to share this. This is going to be our closing verse a little bit here. We're going to spend about 5 minutes in park here. Genesis 28, just to set this up, this is Jacob and Esau. And I shared about this a month ago, Jacob and Esau. Jacob stole the birthright from Esau, from his dad, and they are well known in their country. I mean, this is a family lineage. And if you remember the story how Jacob stole the birthright, and he stole some things from his brother, and his brother is out, Esau's out to kill Jacob, like out to kill him. And here's Jacob's he's known as a deceiver. His name means deceiver, so he's on the run. And you can look up that story beforehand, but I just want to share this. So here's where it's at, where Jacob's mom goes to Jacob and says, Esau's out to kill you. You have got to flee. To go back to Pete's sermon about talking about a runner, it's almost like his mom said, you got to run. You got to flee trouble. You got to get out of here. And so he became a runner. Jacob became a runner. Just like last week I was saying, he became a runner. Here's how the verse goes. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and set up out to Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun has set. At this point, he has literally been walking for 2 days. And I just want you to know, Jacob and Esau, the family, are pretty well known. So Jacob is staying away from all the towns because, of course, Esau probably has people looking out for Jacob. So he's staying away because he doesn't want to get caught. So he's like literally saying, I'm not going to pass through the big towns because I don't want Esau to find me. So he's staying on the outskirts. So when he reached a certain place, he stopped at night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head to lay down to sleep. Come on. Anybody ever slept on a rock before? Like, put your head on a rock? We'll talk on this in a second. He had a dream which he saw a stairway resting on the earth. And in some translations, I'm going to tell you, it talks about not just a stairway, but a ladder to heaven. It's pretty cool. And it says, in this, with its top reaching heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above stood the Lord. How awesome is that? So he's literally seeing this ladder go to heaven or staircase, and he's literally seeing angels come down and go up. And when he looks up from his nap, he's looking up in his dream, and he sees the Lord looking down at him. Isn't this cool? And so the Lord's looking down, and he says, there above stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham and Isaac, God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants a land in which you are lying. Think about that. He is lying there. He's literally on the run, and as he's a deceiver, the Lord's saying, I'm going to give you where you're at. You're going to possess the land that you're running in. And he says, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, multitude, and you will spread out in the west and the east, to the north and the south. All peoples of earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Think about this. You are running, and the Lord has given you promises. And he goes, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. That's powerful. Then when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. If you're highlighting, can you please highlight that? Runners don't understand the Lord's presence all the time, and the Lord has to get their attention. So he's afraid, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is a gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set out up as a pillar, and he poured oil on top of it and called the place Bethel. I'm going to stop there. If you want to translate the word Bethel, here's what's cool about it. In the Old Testament Greek and Hebrew, the word El, which is Beth, actually means house. Do you guys know this? House. The word El actually comes from the word Elohim, which means God, which is actually another name for it. So literally, what Bethel means is house of God. You can actually look at the cities in Scripture. I actually wrote these down. This is pretty interesting, but Bethsaida actually means house of fish, and I think Bethany means house of dates. It means, so it's interesting how you look at it, but Bethel means house of God. Where he was at resting was a house of God. Isn't this cool? So the place that he laid his head back on a rock is a house of the Lord. It's a place. Now, I'm just going to say this. This building is awesome. Our school is awesome. But you know what makes this place a church? Us. The Lord's presence, and we are his church. This place can burn down. The school can leave. And we can go someplace else. But as the body of the church, we are the church. And we are called to bring the presence of the Lord where we go. And here's the thing, he was not aware of it. So I'm just going to give you a couple things here I want you to grab onto. Number one, Jacob was alone. And I want you to understand, listen, most runners are alone. Most people who run, they don't run in, sometimes they run in packs. But literally, when you run, you're running from something. And some of you make a decision right now, you need to make it, like people were saying last week, you need to make a decision, either you're going to run from something, or we're going to run towards something. And we have got to stop running from things and start running toward the Lord's. Because when you turn to the Lord, you are actually making a decision to leave other things. Because you're focused on the Lord. But some of you here this morning feel like you are alone. even in this group that you sit with people that you know, deep down, you still feel alone in this room. Even though you have friends, you still feel alone because there's things in your heart that are not opened up. You don't want God to realize. And I'm telling you, true sense of community and knowing people is when you allow, number one, the Lord in and others into your life, is where you don't feel alone anymore. Are the walls that you're building, are they natural walls that you have built or somebody else has built? If you're not connecting, is it because something in your life is you're not allowing people in? Is this making sense? And so it's interesting because we feel alone. So here's Jacob at nighttime in the dark. I mean, there's wolves and everything around. He's going to sleep by himself. So there's a lot of fear in that. Number two is this. He slept on a rock. I just want you just gather this for a minute. I know some of you have, but I don't like rocks. I like firm, big. You know what I'm saying? Anybody else with me or skinny, whatever? I like put two, not rocks, pillows down, and I just like it. Here's what you can't fluff a rock. Here he lays down. He lays down on this rock, and he puts his head down. And I'm going to tell you this. When you are running and you are making bad choices like being a deceiver, you are sleeping on rocks because you're not resting very good. Listen, it's easy to blame somebody else, and some of those, listen, there are some things that happened to you that are hurtful, that you had abuse and hurt and words that, listen, change the direction of your life that you didn't do. But listen, there's also, I'm talking to these people, there's also decisions that we have made along the way that are dumb decisions that we have not made right yet. We have not allowed the Holy Spirit to speak through us yet in these things and heal them, that we cannot rest good. It's like we're resting on rocks because we have allowed these things, these bad choices and decisions, to affect our next step. Okay, you with me on this? It's interesting because these rocks, we say phrases with even rocks in it, if you want to hear these. For instance, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I'm at rock bottom. My marriage is on the... Think about this. Our decisions create rocks in our lives that we carry with us that also, another word for rocks is burdens and heaviness and weight. And we carry these things through different things in our lives and it makes it heavy and heavier. So Jacob, as he fell asleep, he started to look up. And this is what I find amazing. Jacob had to be on his back in order for him to look up. He had to stop, get down, be on his back, and look up. And so many of us feel like, what does that mean for me? It means this. We have to be, listen, our perspective has to change. When you're running and you're going, things are going by so fast, all you're saying is, I got to get away, I got to get away, I got to get away. And you're going that next step and you're not even focused on what's around you. And then all of a sudden, when you're on your back, you literally can look up. It's like, anybody ever been outside? Of course, all of us have. And look at the stars, and you're like, oh, if we've all been outside, right? You look at nighttime, you look at the stars, and you're like, I don't see any star. And then you just let your eyes adjust, and you keep on looking up, and every minute, more and more stars appear. This is what I believe is happening with Jacob. As he stops, lays down, looks up, God opens up this vision, and his perspective starts changing. And here's what I believe. I'm not sure if some of us are just narcissistic by natural, but I believe some of us believe that the parade is all about us. And so what I believe is some of us need to get out of the parade and start seeing the whole parade. Because God needs a bigger perspective in your life. You need to get, and I'm not saying you're not important, but God has bigger plans for all of us, and we're in this thing together. And so we need to step out and say, God, what are you trying to show us? And so what's interesting is we need to get out of this. And so he's literally telling them, stop running, start looking up. I love what Pete said last week. I wrote this down. It says, shame leads to fear, fear leads to running, and running leads to shame. Isn't that true? Like, I thought, we're going to go with this. Where does running go? Running goes back. All it is a constant cycle going back. If you don't understand this, the Israelites were in a desert going around the same mountain over and over again. because they were literally not following the Lord. They weren't taking steps, and they should have been taking steps, and all they were doing is going, hey, here's a ladder, 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 here's a ladder. And no one's stepping up. And Moses keeps on going up the mountain, hearing from the Lord, and coming back down the mountain, telling the people, go up the mountain, spend time with the Lord, meet him. Well, we're just going to camp around the ladder. We're going to march around this thing because we know this isn't what God is saying. Listen, there is more. There is more. Jacob was running. I was doing my devotions this week, and I was reading a book, and I didn't even get this put on a PowerPoint, but listen up. Look at this quote. You cannot expect God's promises, Bible promises, if you refuse to live by Bible principles. Let me repeat that. You cannot expect Bible promises if you refuse to live by Bible principles, which means we all want the promises of the Lord. God told Jacob, this land is yours. That's awesome. But just because God gave him a promise doesn't mean a deliverer will happen until he steps it out. Jericho, tell me this. God promised Jericho to Joshua, but Joshua still had to walk around Jericho. In our lives, listen, I believe some of us stop marching. We stop moving. Jacob looks up to the top, and he sees God. Last point. I can get the worship team up here. If you guys can come up here, it'd be awesome. Jacob looks up, and he sees God at the top. I find this awesome because I found this picture. And this is talking about Jesus' the staircase ladder. And it's almost like, I don't even know if this is what Jacob saw, but it's called Jacob's ladder. Angels were going up and down, ascending and descending. And he looked up and he see God. A few fun things about this. All eyes up here for a second. Do you understand that in the midst of running, in the midst of fleeing, that God came after Jacob? I don't see anything in this is that Jacob at first was pursuing the Lord, but the Lord was pursuing Jacob. Jacob's running. He comes to Bethel, the house of God. And can I just tell you this? House of God and not church and like dirt. House of God. Falls asleep. And all of a sudden, in his dream, as he's running, as he's a deceiver, a liar, a thief, a no-good son, a no-good brother, as he conniver, the Lord, God sees him, speaks to him, and says, I have promises for you. You and your descendants, this is your land. You take it. I have more for you. That's amazing. What's more amazing is this. In John chapter 1, Jesus, this is red letter, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, and it was to Nathan, he said, then he added, truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus came to earth. Let me tell you this. Jesus came down a ladder to make a way for us to go up the ladder. Jesus came down to give us a way to go up. And this is the truth. Not only do you have God up here, of course, Jesus is up there with the Lord, but you have Jesus who made a way down here for us to climb up here. Because of Jesus, we can ascend. Now listen, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about climb the ladder of your spirit. I'm just talking about he made a way between us and the Father. He made a bridge that we can have relationship with the Father. This is what I find amazing. It all comes full circle. Genesis, New Testament, all comes first of all. Trying to jig up some ladder, seen to happen. Jesus coming down saying, this is the ladder. I made a way for you to go up. Everybody just stand up this morning. This is what I want us to see. When you stand here, you got to look up. Where is this leaning at? Where is this going? Where is this going at? And just like Jacob, some of you are just standing, some of you are lying down, and you just feel defeated. Your head's on a rock, and you're like, I don't know where to go from here. Some of you are in such desperate need to hear God's voice. You don't know the direction of your life. You don't know what God is saying to you. Some of you, I'm telling you, there is so much turmoil and inner, and you're just praying for God's peace. Here's what I'll tell you. You're saying, what should I do? I'm just saying, first step, before you even take a next step, look up. Stop running, look up. Recognize that he's up there, just like the story of Jesus reaching down and pulling the man out of the water. Jesus, God is looking down on you and looking at you even in the midst of running and not paying attention. He's paying attention of you. He sees you. And he says, in order to step up, you gotta look up.